Matthew 26, we have here in this portion of Matthew 26, the denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter denies knowing Him. I also see in this the process of a fall. We see this in the conduct of Peter. But let me point something out here. All four Gospels write about this situation in detail. They all write about it in detail. And this to me is evidence that men did not write the Word of God on their own. If they had, they would have left out many of the faults and sins of those whom we consider to be leaders of the church. But all four Gospels write about this in detail. Now, Peter was an apostle. He was one of the favored ones that the Lord always took with Him on special occasions. He went to the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the Lord transfigured there with Moses and Elijah. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord took him and John and took them apart from the others. He was treated to a special observation of the Lord during that hour. He was definitely one of the favored ones, if I can say it that way. And he's the one who first stood up and said, "Though all deny thee, all these other disciples, though all of them deny thee, yet will I not deny thee. I absolutely will not deny thee." Peter was truly a child of God. He was not apostate. But he was allowed of God to fall hard. Now here's the setting. It's nighttime. And the Lord's been taken captive. He's standing before the high priest. He's being lied on, slapped. They are spitting in his face. Peter sees all this. And he becomes a coward. The one who stood up and said, "I will not deny thee." He's the one who took the sword and was ready to fight. And now he's standing there, a coward. A coward. Apart from the Spirit of God, we all are. I'm not going to be tough on Peter here. How many times have I denied the Lord? How many times has Christ been lied on and I didn't stand up? How many times? How many times did I keep silent when I could have spoken? I can say this, when I realize this, I can say we, have denied the Lord under a lot lesser circumstances than Peter. I mean, this is a tough night going on here. But let's look at the process of Peter's fall here. Every fall into sin by God's children has a process and it has a warning. There's not a sin we've ever committed that there wasn't a warning for it. The Lord warned Peter of his denial of Him. He said, "You will deny me." He said, "Before the cock crow, you will deny me three times." And even knowing this, he still denied his Lord. Still did it. Now here's his first step. One of the first steps is he followed afar off. Now, I know why he followed far off. The scripture said the sheep will be scattered. And I commend Peter in following him afar off while the others left, except him and John. But he's, you know, when you're far off, you're going to be in trouble. That leads to trouble. But in verse 59, Peter, he goes over and he sits. 58 says, Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He goes over and he sits with the servants of darkness. Nothing good is going to come out of this. Nothing good is going to come out of this. Have you ever seen a good apple make a barrel of bad apples good? It don't happen. Nope. And I tell you what, that barrel of good apples don't make that bad apple good either. And that good apple doesn't make those bad apples good. You and I cannot change the heart or the nature of others. That's the work of God. It's not our work. It's the work of God. You know, the scripture says, blessed is the man who walks not, stands not, sits not, in the council, in the way, in the seat of the ungodly. Peter went over there, sat down, and here's what he tried to do. He tried to just blend in. He didn't want to be recognized. He wanted to see what was going to happen to his Lord. But he goes over there and he sits down and he just blends, tries to blend in. God doesn't let him. You know, the Lord will not let us blend in with the world. It ain't going to happen. He's not going to let it happen. You know, the scripture said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. In the Old Testament, the Jews were forbidden to marry Gentiles because of this. He said, they will have your sons and daughters worshiping other gods. I've said this to you several times. You have what they have. But they don't have what you have. I have the same sinful nature this world has. But the world doesn't have the new birth. They don't have a new creation. They don't have that which is born of God. And you have it. And Satan is subtle. And he knows exactly where the chink in the armor is. He knows where it is. But then here's the second step of Peter's fall. He's overcome with the fear of man. This is the one who took a sword and cut off that man's ear. And now here he stands in fear of his life. And I've quoted this to you Thursday night in Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. But the fear of man bringeth a snare. And here it caused Peter to deny even knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter lost his confidence in Christ and began to fear those about him. Remember one time, this is the apostle. This is the one when the Lord came walking on water to them. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out to you. And he said, well, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat and literally began to walk on water. He began to walk on water, just like the Lord was walking on water. He began, by faith in Christ, to walk on water. But what happened? It says he saw the wind and began to be boisterous, and he saw the waves. You know, he saw all the elements, and he lost his confidence in Christ. He took his eyes off Christ, saw all these troubles and all these things that could take his life, and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. But here's the same situation again. Here he stands. Here is a real opportunity. Fear takes over. Fear takes over. You know, fear will shut you down. Fear will absolutely shut you down. When you have a fear of man or a fear of anything else, whatever it is you fear, when it happens, it'll shut you down. And it shut Peter down right here. His fear of losing his life. But the Lord allowed this to happen for us. This is for us. It was for Peter too. It was for Peter too. You know, because Peter, after he had served his time, he was martyred. It is said he was crucified upside down. I just have to believe that when that happened, he was ready to go. He was ready to do it because he remembered the opportunity he had to stand up for Christ and he denied him. And now when they came to get him and they were going to crucify him, they crucified him upside down, I have a feeling that Peter was willing to do it. You know, it's just like righting a wrong, even though we can't right a wrong, but yet you know what I'm talking about. It was an opportunity for him to glorify Christ in a time and in a way in which he had previously denied him. But here he's overcome with fear. Listen to what Paul says in Acts 20:24. Paul said this. Well, turn over to Acts. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 20. Let's see, what did I say? Acts chapter 20. Let me figure out the verse I want to read first. Verse 22. Let me start at 22. Paul says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." They're waiting for me, Paul. Paul said, these things are waiting for you. In every city you go to, here's what you're going to meet with, Paul. But now listen. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." But Paul says here, and here is the pinnacle of discipleship, right here. "Neither count I my life dear to me." Paul said, my life doesn't matter. My life on this earth, if I live today, fine. If I die today, fine. Now, brother, that's the pinnacle of discipleship. When your life, my life, doesn't matter anymore. That's when, as Paul said, I don't count my life dear to me that I may finish the ministry that's been given to me. Our Lord said this in John 12:25, "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Peter was afraid of losing his life. And now we come to Peter's denial. Here in verse 69 through 70, a damsel said, "You were with Jesus." And Peter acts like he doesn't even know what she's talking about. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." You know, he's just like, I know Peter had to be very nervous and very fidgety and anxious. And she says, "You were with Jesus." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Yes. She was no threat to him. It's interesting what God used here. This maid was no threat to him. She didn't come to him with a sword. Oh, how the Lord reveals our weakness. How we need him. "Without me, you can do nothing." This maid didn't have soldiers behind her saying, "Get him." She didn't have a sword in her hand. She just said, "You were with Jesus." This damsel. And he says, "I don't know what you're talking about." And then again, it says in verse 71, "And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him." The Lord sends another maid, a very unthreatening person, so unthreatening. And said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter denied knowing him. There in verse 71. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said to them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath. This time he, you know, people try to get you to believe something. They put an oath to it, don't they? I swear I'm telling the truth. Oh, yeah, right. If you were telling the truth, you wouldn't have to swear. Where am I at? And after a while, well, let me deal with this first. His third denial. That was his second one. Here's his third one. After a while, came unto him they that stood by, and they said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee, or betrayeth thee. You speak like a Galilean. See, their speech was a little different. It was not as polished as the ones there in Jerusalem and educated. He was an old fisherman. They said, your speech betrays you. And I tell you this, your speech as a child of God will betray you to the world. They said, you're different. There's something different about you. Something different about the way you talk. What you talk about. Something different. But look here in verse 74. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter denies Christ again, but this time he cusses. You know, that really puts the emphasis on you being right. You cuss. You know, that just seems to go with the swearing part. He cusses and he swears. He takes an oath. And what this is the old fisherman of Galilee coming out. The old man. That old nature coming out. I figure old Peter could be one that could probably cuss with the best of them. Knowing his personality. Before the Lord saved him, I bet he was a rough character. But I want you to notice how deep the fall was here. How far the Lord let him fall. I know not the man. He used to call him Master. He used to call him Lord. And now he's calling him the man. And he's saying it to them in a way of disgust so they'll believe him. So they'll believe his lie. I know not the man. Wow. How stinging this must have been to our Lord. Our Lord felt these things. He feels our unfaithfulness. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows he feels these things. And this just added to his pain. I don't know which was more painful, the lashes on his back or Peter's denial of knowing him. I'd say it's Peter's denial. That had to be painful. Our Lord's a man. He felt these things. But here's the grace of God. We may deny Him, but He will never deny us. In a fit of fear, like Peter did, in a fit of fear, we may deny Him. He will never deny us. There, standing before that kangaroo court, He never denied us. He never denied us. In fact, what He did, He put the sheep out of the way, protected them, and took their punishment, took our punishment. But here we also see the word of God fulfilled. Immediately after Peter said this, immediately, not an hour later, immediately, the cock crew, just as the Lord said it would. We can trust the Word of God. We can take God at His Word. We can trust the Word of God, but we can't change it. You would have thought, that just hours before this, the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He said, no, I won't. And what does he do? He denies him three times and never thinks about what the Lord said to him. You know why? Because, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Because I said you're going to. God's Word is infallible. God's Word is sure. And it's accurate. It's accurate. But here's good news. Here's good news. Don't let this go by you. This hit me when I was studying this. Here's good news. There's no sin that we will ever do that the Lord doesn't know. Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Yeah. Peter, you're going to deny me. But Christ died for that too. Christ put that sin away too. That's like Nathan the prophet saying to David, he says, the Lord has put away your sin, you're not going to die. He's already put it away. And you notice something here. Everything in this life has a purpose. One day, one morning, a hen lays an egg. I mean, nobody's going to think about that. A hen lays an egg. And this rooster is hatched. And this rooster grows up. And this rooster has one purpose. It's going to crow when the Lord said he would. And Peter is going to remember the word of the Lord. This when this rooster crowed, it sounded like a trumpet. You know, you hear everybody there. Listen, everybody there heard that rooster crow. But there was one, when he heard it, it broke his heart. I did what I said I wouldn't do. And then we see the power of God's Word here. When that rooster crowed, he remembered the Word. He remembered the Word. He thought of the Word of his Lord that he had spoken to him about denying him and him saying, I will not deny you. Then he remembered the Word that the Lord said, you're going to deny me three times. And he said, I won't. And it hit him like a ton of bricks. It cut his heart. And it cut his heart for the rest of his life on this earth. Peter never got over this. He never forgot this. Never. He just denied the most loving, most caring, most giving person. He just denied his Lord and Savior. He had said just previously to this, not too long before this, the Lord said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now he stands here and says, I don't know that man. And God said, well, the Lord said to him, he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you. My Father has done a work of grace in you. My Father has made known to you who I am. No man knows the Father save the Son. And no man knows the Son save the Father. And you don't know either one of them until the Son reveals them to you. And he said to Peter, he said, my Father has revealed this to you. And now here Peter is saying, I don't know this man. This man. This thug. I don't know him. And whoa, when that rooster crowed, he remembered the word of the Lord. And I can only imagine some of the thoughts that went through his head when that happened. He thought of what the Lord had done for him. Called him by His grace. Made him one of the pillars in the church. He thought of the special favors he was given. The Mount of Transfiguration. Could you imagine what sight that would have been? He heard God, the voice speak from heaven. He heard God the Father speak from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I well please. Hear Him. He was given a special warning. But He did it anyway. He was given one of the great opportunities. Now here's one of the, I think this is one of the most painful, painful things that He endured and that we can endure is this. Peter was given one of the greatest opportunities to take a stand for his Master and denied even knowing Him. Denied, I don't even know that man. And then here's another one of the, I think, most painful things. But without a doubt, this is the one of the things that made him and makes us grateful to the grace of God. This is what makes God's grace so amazing. He realized he was no better than Judas. He knew. Peter knew in his heart he was no better than Judas who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine the thoughts that he and the others had when Judas came up and kissed him and betrayed him? And they took the Lord away? Can you imagine the thoughts they had of Judas and here he is? I denied him. I'm no better than Judas. The only difference between Judas and Peter is the grace of God. The only difference between me and you and those out on the street and those who do not believe is the grace of God. That's the difference. The Word of God, he remembers the Word. Listen, the Word of God, when it comes in power, it cuts the heart. Now, you don't just have this easy believism. There's a real cutting of the heart by the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Over in Acts chapter 2, 36 and 37, listen. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Now, another time that is said, and it says, they were mad. When they heard this, they were mad. They wanted to kill them. But this group they were preaching to, it says they were pricked in their heart. We crucified the Lord of glory. Here's what happened to Peter. Peter, I denied the Lord of glory. I denied Him. God's Word's powerful when it comes in power. But I tell you, it makes a change like it did 1 Thessalonians when the Word of God came in power. They left their idols. They became examples. I tell you, the Word of God, when it comes in power, you're not going to be the same. And then we see the pain that sin causes. When he remembered the Word of the Lord, when he remembered that conversation, he went out and he wept bitterly. Can you imagine? I can't imagine the bitter weeping, the bitterness of it. You know, in Luke's gospel, in Luke 22:61, it says this. When that rooster crowed, when it crowed, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And Lucas says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Oh, whoa. It says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. The Lord turned, and all this going on, all this commotion going on, all of this hatred, darkness, all this animosity going on, and yet, the Lord thinks upon Peter. He thinks upon Peter. It was a look of pity. I can imagine that. It's just a look of pity upon him. The scripture says he remembers our frame that is dust. Peter said, no, I won't. He said, y'all, that frame's going to fall in a little while. It was a look of love. I mean, the love you heard this morning in 1 Corinthians 13. It was a look of love, that kind of love. Love thinks no evil. The Lord didn't think evil of him. The Lord didn't think evil of Peter. He knew Peter. Peter's his child. And now he's afraid and he's scared. He's scared of dying. And the Lord just looked at him. He looked at him with pity. He looked at him with love. There's a piercing look. Ooh, piercing look. My dad could look at me. Boy, it was a piercing look. It was a piercing look. The Lord looked right into his heart. And I tell you what he saw. He saw a heart that loved him. He looked into Peter's heart, and Peter felt the burn of it. He felt the burn of that glaze. You know, it says in Revelation, his eyes are like, fire. Peter felt the burn of that gaze. You can only imagine. I tell you, this is what happens when God takes you in the hand. He takes a sinner in the hand, and that sinner is his. That's his child, and he corrects that child. He can correct you with a look. And Peter never forgot what he did. And I bet you he never forgot that look either. I bet he never forgot it. But how bitter sin is. How bitter and how painful. How painful repentance is of sin. Now what can we learn from this? And I close. Not to trust our own steadfastness. I will not deny thee. We'll see. Scripture says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Only Christ can enable us to stand in the day of temptation. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Nobody else. No one else. Then no position in the church shields us from falling. Some of you have been here for many, many years. That does not shield you from falling. Peter was an apostle. And then when a child of God begins to fall, it usually starts gradually. It's usually a gradual process. And then we see that sin is a bitter, bitter thing. And brethren, the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Christ. Can wash it away. Yesterday, Vicki finally got me convinced into cleaning the front of the house. So she quit being embarrassed. So I went and we went and we'd gotten this bottle of stuff. And I sprayed it on there. You should see how clean that is. All that grime and stain that has been on there for I don't know how long, but it's been on there for a while. All of it is gone. It's white as can be. All of you look at it when you leave. It's gone. And I just sprayed the right stuff on it. The only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can make us whiter than snow. And I don't know what there is that is whiter than snow. Except a believer. You're the only thing whiter than snow. And then we see a look from our Lord produces sorrow for sin. They will mourn, the scripture says, when they look on Him whom they pierced. And when we fall into temptation, let us seek the place of solitude and pour out our hearts before God. If we confess our sins, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins, whatever they be, however deep the stain. There is no stain of sin that the blood of Christ cannot wash away. And then believers may be suffered to fall hard to show them and us, others, believers, their weakness and our weakness. And then let me just give this as a note of warning. Let us never use another's sin to justify our own. Don't ever say, well, you know, Peter did that. Well, David committed adultery. These things are not written so that you and I have excuses. Okay, we have warnings.